I call this meeting of Sylvania City Council for November 20th, 2017 to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mrs. Capellini?
Here.
Mr. Frye?
Here.
Mr. Hanem?
Here.
Mrs. Hussman?
Here.
Mr. Lukey?
Here.
Mr. Mishka?
Here.
Mrs. Westfall?
Here.
All seven members of City Council are present, and therefore a quorum exists. I'd like to welcome all of you to our City Council meeting tonight. If any of you have questions on a particular item or want to address council, please raise your hand, and I will recognize you to do so at the appropriate time. I'd like to give a special welcome to Cub Scout Pack 149, Arrow of Light Den Number 3, from Central Trail Elementary School, joining us tonight doing their work on city government, and we have invited them to lead us in our Pledge of Allegiance this evening. Well, young men, come on up forward a little bit if you like. All right.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Additions to the agenda, I have nothing to add tonight. Mrs. Westfall?
Nothing, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Members of City Council, Mrs. Hussman.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I would like to add to the agenda a discussion about a medical marijuana dispensary in the city of Sylvania.
All right, we're at that as agenda item 10. Medical marijuana dispensary in Sylvania discussion. Is that accurate?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to see if we can take a few minutes and schedule a meeting of the Utilities Committee.
Certainly. We'll make that as, we'll put it as 8B, as schedule, Utilities Committee. Other additions from members of City Council? Seeing no more. Mr. Sanford?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Chief Rodas?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Aller?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mrs. Brining?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
With that, is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and the agenda is approved as amended. Have a good evening. Thank you for coming. All right. We're up to agenda item four, approval of the meeting minutes from November the 6th. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move approval of the meeting minutes from the Sylvania City Council for the meeting of November 6th, 2017, as presented.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to approve the meeting minutes from November 6th, 2017, as presented. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and the meeting minutes are approved. Moving on to agenda item 5, 2018 budget. Finance Director Toby Schroyer could not be here tonight. He had a family parental activity to go to tonight, but I did speak to him earlier in the day, and he told me that there have been no questions or inquiries to him as to the budget, and so the administration is officially requesting City Council's consideration to pass the budget tonight. That will allow the finance department to move on to two or three other functions. One, to enter the budget into the computer. We also have to do our annual pay ordinance so we can get that done by the end of the year. But the big one coming up is the end of the year balancing ordinance, which is to come. You did pass last year's budget on the second reading and allowed the finance department to move ahead, and they would appreciate that consideration this year if you are prepared. You did have a first reading 2 weeks ago. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce the second reading of ordinance number 77, 2017. All members of council having received copies in advance, I'll read by title only. To make appropriations for current expenditures and other expenditures of the City of Sylvania, Ohio for the fiscal year ending December 31st, 2018, waiving the third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to read ordinance 77, 2017 by title only and waive the third reading. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of ordinance number 77-2017.
Second.
Been moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 77-2017 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 77-2017 is approved, as is the 2018 budget. Thank you for your work. I know you've met on this, given it considerable thought. We had a good process again this year, and we will be happy to move ahead with that. Let's move on to agenda item 6, which is some resurfacing projects. You have in your council packet a report from Mr. Aller, Director of Public Service, about these projects. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Our office is ready to move forward on improvements at River Crossings in Haroon, as well as Tantalon and Headingham. The area of River Crossings, along River Crossings, is in very poor shape. The pavement, I don't believe at the time it was put in, it just had the proper design to hold up to all of the truck traffic and deliveries and everything else that are made to, primarily to our garage, our maintenance garage that's on the route. With all of our dump trucks that leave that site loaded down with salt and snow plows, as well as the deliveries of salt that have been made to that site throughout the years. The pavement is in a very poor condition. We're looking at having to remove most of the asphalt as well as stone base and reconstruct and build that section back up in order to be able to hold up to that traffic. We also will be making improvements to the Hedges Chiropractic building there, into that building. Right now, it's just not the access to that site is not.
It is uncontrolled. It's a continuous curb cut.
Yes, yeah. It's not really access. It's just an open area, so we'll be improving that area and installing a driveway into that site and making it really more proper and work more efficiently, both for the city and for the building owner. We've been in contact with the building owner throughout this design, and he's looking forward to the changes. So that work is being done on River Crossings. And then Headingham and Tantalon is a mill and fill type project, mill and resurfacing. As you're well aware, we've done a lot of microsurfacing in the past year, but this area was just not a good candidate for that type of work, and more a candidate for the traditional mill and fill type project. So that's what that work will be. The total cost for all of that work is just over $168,000, $168,286. All of this work was budgeted within the 2017 capital improvements budget, and it's our desire to move forward with advertising the project. That way we'll be able to come back to you at the last meeting in December in order to make the award and still utilize 2017 funds, even though the work won't be done until the spring of 2018. So we would request that the clerk be authorized to advertise for bids.
Mr. Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So, Mr. Aller, couple questions for you in regards to this. I know that one of the things that's been going on, it was a pretty significant effort for all of us during this year, was the Selma development, and the fact that that property along what effectively is the confluence of the two creeks, the North Branch and 10 Mile Creek there, to create the Ottawa River, is a premium location for that development. This likewise is downstream from that. and therefore also a potential premium location in the future. So the property that's there now in the street condition, not knowing what the timeframe of any potential development in the future might be at that location, and the movement of the streets department to somewhere else in the, somewhere else in the city, is this something that could be delayed in your judgment, given the pavement condition?
I can't be sure. Anything can be delayed. I wouldn't recommend that in this particular instance, just because of the condition of the existing pavement there. It is probably the largest amount of alligator cracking, which is the smaller cracking that we have throughout in the city. It's just in this pavement in this section is in very poor condition. It rated in the high 40s in our PCR index, which is a pavement condition rating. That's what we do. We go through that process every 2 years. It rated in the high 40s. Anything below 60 is a reconstruction candidate. And it's amongst the poorest pavement that we have. Because of even if something were to occur on a short time frame where somebody is interested in that property and we decide to make the sale and move the maintenance facility, the access that we'll be providing to the building, which is now Hedges Chiropractic, that access will have to be maintained. So we would have to provide access at least to their driveway in order to maintain access to that building, because this will be their only access. The other access that's on Haroon Road is on the next property, the adjacent property. It's on the, right now I believe there's a dog grooming place in there, and that's a separate property. So this access that we're providing here is the only access to this building. So we would have to construct that regardless.
Mr. Aller and the mayor had said that it's kind of uncontrolled there, right? I mean, as you turn into that, it kind of feels like you're turning into a large parking lot with a road behind it.
Yeah.
Is there a history of accidents happening because of that? Do we have any collisions in that area?
We don't have high accident counts in that area, but we have, coming from that area, we have them at the Kroger accident.
Right.
But we have had some. The good thing about in there is when people are moving there, they're moving slow, so they're not the fender benders. Worst case scenario.
And there's also like a seam there, which is why I described it as like a parking lot with a road behind it. Does that get cleaned up, and is that repavement, does that extend into Haroon a little bit, or would that still be there? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, no, that if you look at the last page attached to my letter, that will all be cleaned up. That will be curved.
So it'll be smooth right
sidewalk,
through there.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, everything will be.
It's the paving line that's coming out in front of the curb line. Here,
right. So that'll be cleaner and we'll ride better through there.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So unless we can't cut the chiropractic office's ability to access city streets, obviously, so half of that will have to be done regardless, even if we were going to utilize that property for other purposes in the future.
Correct.
Okay.
And I would anticipate, if we were to use that property for other purposes, I would anticipate that they will want an access point to Haroon Road. So this could potentially become their entrance point.
The logical access point for them as well.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So are we going to cut off their access to Haroon? I'm looking at the Google Maps aerial.
No, the attachment to my letter, the last page in that.
I'm looking at it. Yeah.
Shows how we're modifying their access. We're moving their access back.
But you're going to cut off their access to Haroon. They're going to have to come out onto River Cross.
Yes. Yes. Which they have to do already, because they, to be able to make that left turn directly out of their parking lot, it's impossible.
Well, they are supposed to, but no, we have people that come out just north of River Crossings and sit there.
It's a problem. Sure, they probably do. It should not.
have they been advised of this?
Yeah, we've been working with the property owner through all of this, yeah. Yep, he's happy that this is getting done, actually.
Are you gonna continue the sidewalk up around, and then there's big pieces that are missing?
Yes, those will be replaced.
You're gonna fix all that while you've got sidewalks?
Yeah, we won't, but the property owners will be.
All right. Either way.
Yep, that's been addressed.
Thank you, Mr. Aller.
Okay, so I know we just had these discussions about the development of this city-owned property. I think this summer was the first time I'd heard it discussed. This is, and I think we talked about the parcel all the way from KinderCare to Haroon. Have we done anything to look at what would be involved in relocating that city operation?
We've looked at possibilities. We have a couple possibilities, but we haven't, you know, we haven't put plans together.
I'll go a little bit farther.
Yeah.
We have looked at the property that the city owns out by the forestry building, out past Centennial Terrace.
Right.
And we have master planned that property to see how that would fit on there. We're looking if we need to purchase any additional properties to do it, but the main expense will be reconstructing or constructing a new building out there to take the place of the service building. That's millions of dollars, and for a property owner to decide to purchase the property along Haroon Road, we're gonna have to make the price, or along the creek there at Haroon Road. The price will have to be enough to allow us to relocate the city service department out there. So I don't think that project's gonna move ahead quickly. They will look for undeveloped sites. Not one that has a precast concrete building on it that's in pretty good shape and would be a loss unless they can reincorporate that into their new function. So we have taken a look at it. We are master planning the future. That's why we continue to purchase some property past Centennial Terrace and near the forest building.
So you're fundamentally saying we're keeping our options open.
That's correct. We also looked at the possibility of dead-ending river crossings and putting a cul-de-sac on it somehow so the traffic couldn't come all the way through, and adding a parcel to the city service garage property that's on the north side of river crossing.
Right.
It's almost an unbuildable site standing by itself because it's just odd shape and it has a slope in it, it's got a drainage ditch running through it. But if we could take the area of the road to the west of where these improvements are being made and build a new building at the end of the road and somehow put a cul-de-sac for the rest of River Crossing at KinderCare. And we've not approached KinderCare as being a part of it, Mr. Hainem. That's just how far we go.
Yeah.
We have been taking a look at that as our process to look at developable property in the city now that the SOMO property is going to move ahead.
So putting what you just said into the context of this particular ordinance,
yes.
The any potential project that would come along there would have a price tag on it that would make the dollars that Mr. Aller is requesting tonight fairly de minimis, right?
Absolutely.
Not a big portion of that cost.
That's right. And for that development to move ahead, I think that's years off. Even if we found a buyer next year, we're going to have to spend a year replacing the city facility before we can move them out of
there. Yeah, but even if we found a buyer and had to move quick, you know, move expeditiously, the costs that we're putting into this in part would still be recovered.
It won't be lost. That's where the curb cut comes out. You can't put that curb cut cutting onto a road any closer to the bridge abutment than it already is.
I think my concerns were like Mr. Fry's, that, you know, if we're going to do a deal there at some point in the near term, would this be throwing good money against it? And it doesn't sound like that's the case.
Right. But we need to keep that in good shape for the city equipment and other people on Rivers Crossings to get in and out of their properties.
No doubt.
Plus, we're going to try to clean up the geometrics of that intersection to work better. At the same time, that's the sidewalk being included.
And this is also an Ellenville, right? Not a complete reconstruction.
No.
This portion is mostly a complete reconstruction.
Oh, okay.
There's a small section to the west that it will be just a mill and fill, but most of it is full reconstruction of river crossings. The mill and fill is Tantallon and Headingham.
Kevin?
Okay.
What, if you had to break out into the three projects, the 168,000, how much of it is for Haroon and how much is it for the others?
About 100 to 110 is for river crossings, and then 50 to 60 is the Tantallon and Headingham. And the reason, I realize that they're two completely separate areas of the city, but the reason that we've combined these is just economies trying to get better prices with a larger contract.
Then, right?
This project, I asked Mr. Haller this morning, why didn't we bid this earlier in the year? And you had an answer for me, and I'll let you give me the answer.
Yeah, primarily what was trying to get things worked out with the property owner on the corner there is trying to get things, because he has some parking concerns, and our initial draft one, if you will, on how we were going to handle that access didn't work with his parking concerns, and so we've modified that and worked with him to accommodate his needs and still be able to provide the type of project that we'd like to have.
You get the most competitive pricing for any construction, and certainly for asphalt paving, if you bid it prior to the construction season. And once we got into April and May, then you're going to pay a premium, even if you even get a bid for it.
Yeah.
And so bidding it now at the end of the year allows people to put it on their schedule for next year. I think this is a good approach, since it wasn't ready earlier, but we'd like to spend those capital improvement dollars from this year's budget, get them on the encumbered so they're this year's dollars before the end of the year. But we didn't want to bid it in the summertime.
Well, yeah, and I understand what we're doing here. I would be very interested in I know you're planning this. I'd be interested in seeing the planning numbers in terms of what we think that real estate is worth and what it would cost to move those, if those numbers exist, or if somebody's doing that. And if they aren't, I'd like to do that. That's a seems like a I mean, I know why it's there.
It was built back in the 1970s,
right.
And it was unused parcel. It was out in front of the city's sewer treatment plant, and it just seemed like a natural. But as that riverfront's improving, it seems like a waste of the riverfront.
Right, and that's kind of, and so it'd be interesting to have a better understanding of what
but
the economics are.
It's a long-term building too. It's not a pre-engineered steel building. It's a precast concrete building. It'll last 100 years. So we'll have to decide what we're going to do with it. The city has not outgrown it.
No, we're really so we would really be talking about relocating a functioning piece of our city infrastructure to accommodate a development. On the other hand, if you put two or three hundred living people, you know, family units in there, there's something to that too.
If we were thinking like the people in Brooklyn, it would just, the answer would be one word: lofts.
Right.
Yeah. And there you go.
It's interesting.
Because it's a fire-rated building, you could do that.
I'm sure it could be very cool.
The front of that building does have an intermediate floor. The city put in a mezzanine in that building after it was built. There's stairs in there that weren't there originally.
If they can turn a steam plant into an office building, they
there you go. Well, we need $47 million bucks, right?
Well, that's a good point.
Well, it's really, I mean, it's a private development. It would be best if it were a private development initiated effort. You know,
it's
let the word go out. We're open to your ideas.
It's definitely on a list of properties that the city is developing, led by Mr. Sanford and Mr. Moan, of other properties looking to the future that can have a higher use on them than they have now. That's how we did several properties in the past, the most recent being SOMO, and we've got to look out in the future because these take years to put together.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating.
Okay, Mr. Fry, all we need is a motion authorizing the clerk to advertise.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll make a motion to authorize the
clerk to advertise for bids for the river crossing improvements, Headingham and Tantallon Circle resurfacing project.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to authorize the clerk of council to advertise for these resurfacing projects. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and I heard Mr. Aller say his intent is to have bids back in and bring them to you at the second meeting in December. Moving on to agenda item 7, we have notice of a new A1A beer and any intoxicating liquor by glass or container. I do not remember one of these, so I got out my list. And I think maybe you all have seen in the past, and I looked up what an A permit is. Well, I can see why we don't have any of these, because that is a manufacturer as opposed to a restaurant or nightclub that you'd normally see. And this is an interesting permit. A1A, let me read this to you. Well, first, an A1 would be the manufacturer of beer, producing more than 31 million gallons per year. That's a lot. I don't know what the inside the five is planning to do, but this is the part that really surprised me. If you put an A on the end of that, it's beer or any intoxicating liquor by glass or container until 2:30 a.m. This is a way to create a new liquor permit without buying an old one. This is new because you're a manufacturer. I did not know there was such a thing until we saw that. Chief, I'm sure you did. But this is different. I don't know what they have at J&G's Pizza because I don't remember us seeing anything like this. They just stayed with beer. But this is a full service liquor license without going to a D2 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an interesting one. And Chief, I really want to hear what you have to say about this. And did
you? Thank you, Mr. Mayor. After a review of the paperwork and the parties involved, the police department has no objections to the issuance of this permit, and we respectfully would advise council not to request a hearing at this time.
I just note there's something like 42 of these in Hamilton County, which is where Cincinnati is. These have just exploded, all over that community. The only reason I know is I have a daughter who lives down there, but it's phenomenal. The societal change that has occurred in that community with these microbreweries.
It would be an excellent use of that building. No, it would be.
Because
you have the height necessary to do it, and it's a fireproof building. It would just be perfect.
Okay.
Well, if there's no concerns.
We just need this open soon.
Yeah.
Well, they are opening. Is it this week?
The next weekend.
The next weekend, just to sell stuff. Yeah, not liquor, but stuff.
Sell stuff. Cool.
Okay, Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that no hearing be requested regarding this new A1A permit with beer and any intoxicating liquor by the glass or containers on A1 or AT2 permit premises only until 2:30 a.m. Permit from Inside the Five Brewing LLC, doing business as Inside the Five at 5703 North Main, Sylvania.
Second.
It's moved and seconded not to request a local hearing on this A1A request. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I don't think we've ever done a liquor permit with Mrs. Cheney in the room.
Just barely.
Okay. Very good. Moving on to agenda item 8. First, there was a Employee and Community Relations Committee meeting held in these council chambers at 6:45. Mr. Lukey.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. The meeting at 6:45 was held primarily to discuss how to proceed with the appointment of to three seats that are open before the end of the year, two at the Board of Zoning Appeals and one at Sageyard. In light of discussion earlier this year about the possibility of noticing these openings for public participation, which has been tabled, but we felt that we wanted to make a good faith effort to comply with the concepts and principles of that legislation. So the committee has voted, and this does not require action on the part of council, but has voted to create public notice about all three of those seats. It'll be posted on our website. It'll be posted on our Facebook page. We'll make an effort to get it into the Blade newspaper, and if we can, advantage. For the purposes of soliciting individuals who may be want to consider for one of those seats, that'll be posted, I believe, as early as tomorrow on the website. Since the meeting, I've talked with Mrs. Brining, and we feel that it's appropriate to let those applications be accepted through noon on the 4th, which I believe is the date of our next council meeting. So we'll have an opportunity prior to council to get a sense of how many individuals are interested and perhaps work out some sort of process. I don't believe we feel the need to have another committee meeting to do that. We can simply come to council with some discussion, make it an agenda item on the council agenda, and then perhaps schedule a community relations committee meeting between then and our next meeting on the 18th to interview any potential applicants. Just point of information, two other things that the committee suggested or discussed that we intend to put on our agenda for the first part of 2018. One would be to engage some conversation with our TARDA representative to hear where TARDA is headed with their discussion about a tax for 2018. And then secondly, to discuss the formalization of a policy regarding council participation on the governing boards of those community organizations which we fund. We've been doing that as a matter of practice, but it hasn't been codified into our ordinances, so we are going to be looking at whether and how we might do that. This meeting was adjourned at 7:10.
Thank you. We had 8B added to the agenda to schedule a utilities committee.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to schedule a meeting of the Utilities Committee with the conversation or as a, for an update on the any developments regarding the Regional Water Authority, but more importantly, to discuss a 2018 water rate schedule.
And perhaps a sewer rate increase as well.
Okay. I have in my notes here that along with myself on that committee, is Mrs. Westfall, Mrs. Hussman, and Mr. Fry. I'd like to propose doing it prior to our next council meeting on December the 4th at either 6:30 or 6:45, depending on how much time we might need for that. Are the members of the committee available for that? Uh-huh. Mr. Valor, can you give an idea of 45 minutes or an hour do you think is sufficient? Okay, so we'll do we'll set that for 6:45 on December the 4th then.
Isn't that when you're planning the council party?
Not before, it's after.
Oh, that's after.
So there'll be good reason
to wait
to go.
Okay.
Thanks.
6:45, Jason?
Yes.
And it's to consider, to get an update on the Regional Water Authority and to consider the rate impact, the rates?
2018.
I will be happy to give an update, and based on a water meeting next Wednesday,
right.
I'll know.
So we understood.
I'll have a status of what's
right,
going
so we
on.
Understood last year that Toledo had two rate schedule changes coming, and we approved one of them. last year, but not two of them, right?
Correct.
Meaning that we approved our change so that we can stay in budget for each of those years. So that's what this agenda is.
Well, actually, the rate increase last year and the one that the administration will propose this year is also to get some extra capital improvement dollars to help take care of what we need to do for a new regional water system or our own system in the coming years.
Perfect.
Okay.
Is there any other committee reports or committee business to do at this time, or any committee referrals, agenda item 9? Hearing none, we'll move on to added agenda item number 10, a discussion of medical marijuana dispensary in Sylvania. Mrs. Huston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. At one point, we had a moratorium on medical marijuana facilities, both the cultivation, processing, and then the dispensing.
We discussed
a moratorium, and we said we would visit it again. And I'm thinking it's time. I know Sylvania Township is in the process of doing that. Perrysburg and Perrysburg Township, that we often like to compare ourselves to, has placed a ban on all three, both the city and the township. I think it would be a good idea for us to talk about it. I don't know if you want me to go into detail or make reasons that, or if we could just move that to a committee.
I think it is an appropriate discussion now that medical marijuana has moving ahead in the law, and ask Mrs. Brining to be prepared to give us an update in the schedule of the law change. But I know that I read in the newspaper about a marijuana dispensary being considered by Toledo City Council Zoning Committee on Sylvania Avenue just east of Secor. Mm-hmm. So it must be active. If they would be talking about it if it was. And it's an appropriate discussion here to know what the schedule is and what our options are. As I recall, the law gave you the chance to have a one-year moratorium. I don't know if that's true anymore or not. That's why Mrs. Brining might give us an update tonight.
Well, before we go any further, let me just say that we've had three Zoning and Annexation Committee meetings discussing this, and the Zoning and Annexation Committee has decided not to pursue any additional regulation of medical marijuana facilities beyond those that are established by the state. And let's review why that is, because I don't know. This isn't new. We've been talking about this for a year. There are well over 200 pages of regulations regulating the cultivation, sale, and dispensing of medical marijuana. We specifically considered a moratorium and rejected it in committee. And just so we're clear about what we're talking about, I didn't know we were going to do this tonight. And if we want to move forward on this, I think the place to refer it would be back to the Zoning and Annexation, where we have members who have already labored quite extensively on this issue. But just to be clear what we're talking about, the medical marijuana law, which went into effect on September 8th of 2016, and which we've considered extensively, charged that three different departments would develop rules about this, and that included Department of Commerce, the Board of Pharmacy, and the State Medical Board of Ohio. And Ohio only allows medical marijuana use for a very narrow group of medical conditions, but they're ones which none of us want to ever have to deal with in our lives. They include AIDS, Alzheimer's, ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, cancer, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, Crohn's disease, epilepsy or other seizure disorders, fibromyalgia, glaucoma, hepatitis C, inflammatory bowel disease, multiple sclerosis, chronic or intractable pain, Parkinson's disease, a positive HIV status, PTSD, sickle cell anemia, spinal cord disease or injury, Tourette's syndrome, traumatic brain injury, and ulcerative colitis. In Ohio, in order for a patient to be eligible for medical marijuana use, to qualify for the program, a patient has to be diagnosed with a qualifying medical condition and receive a recommendation from a physician who's specifically approved by the state to approve medical marijuana use for these individuals with these horrendous diseases. And the physician has to have an in-person physical examination of the patient and then must have an expectation of providing ongoing care for the patient. And then the physician has to submit paperwork directly to the state on behalf of the patient using registration or seeking to use this. The important thing here is that the medical marijuana in Ohio is very medical. It is, you're not going to,
Doug,
I'm going to finish, Sandy.
Of course you are.
We've talked about this and we'll, you kind of sprung this on me. But the fact is that we're not talking about gummy bears. We're not talking about candy bars. We're not talking about smokable marijuana. In Ohio, none of that, unlike Michigan and Colorado, California, a lot of other states, in Ohio, medical marijuana will be very medical. It'll be tinctures and vapors and creams and pills and tablets. And it will not be anything like what, and there are specific rules about how it can be packaged and how it can be presented. Moreover, we've adopted a specific rule coming out, and you all know this, coming out of that examination of the rules, we adopted a specific piece of legislation about commercial agricultural activity, in which we made commercial agricultural activity a special use, which would require that in order to do any sort of commercial agricultural activity, including marijuana growing, you'd have to get a special use from the city of Sylvania. In the process of that, we also specifically considered the extensive regulations for dispensaries, labs, and for the processors, and reviewed those rules in our zoning committee and concluded that those were sufficient and adequate without us adding anything more. What I am continue to not understand is what the thinking is regarding making a medical procedure and medical treatment available to people with these terrible diseases that a doctor will determine would benefit from this treatment. Why we would ever want to get between the doctor and the patient and prohibit that in the city of Sylvania. I just can't possibly understand that, and I don't believe that my neighbors want to deny their sick neighbors good medical care. So the bottom line on this is we have been around and around on this, we've considered it, and we've rejected it.
You know, I have a question. I knew that the zoning committee did discuss this one time, and the legislation came out about the agricultural portion of the legislation, but I did not realize that your committee had had a discussion on dispensary and labs. And so is that consistent with what happened in the meeting? Does everybody feel like that was a discussion that you agreed on from zoning? I did listen back to those minutes, and I did not hear them, and I wasn't able to be at that particular meeting. I mean, if it's a discussion...
I don't have my... I didn't bring my materials with me because this issue was dead and done. But I have a file on it and lots of meeting minutes about the discussion.
We did have the discussions that Deb talked about, and we did decide...
And you reached agreement on that.
Well, we decided not to move it forward to legislation, correct?
So, Doug, you indicated that it was reviewed by zoning, no action taken was in place. I don't understand the legislation enough, and again, this maybe should go to committee, but perhaps not.
You know,
does that mean that, let me just ask a quick question, and I don't know if the law director will know the answer to this. Does that mean that a dispensary, by taking no action, a dispensary could open up in our community? No action is a response.
That's correct.
Okay. So the zoning committee made that decision, that was acceptable.
But as I understand it, Leslie, there are regulations around where that can be.
Absolutely. And those discussions
Are basic zoning regulations in place to create community controls over that, right? Where it goes.
And there are, I believe this was discussed in the committee, there are a limited number of licenses that will be granted for this area. I believe that was the topic of the conversation. To be honest, I didn't have time to go back and listen to the meetings that were held over the summer and in the spring, so my memory is not the best on what exactly the discussions were.
I feel like there's something that the boundaries were so large and our city was actually so small that it almost excluded all of the possible locations.
Almost.
Watch me spin my... Here are the regulations on dispensaries. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I ran into my flashlight but look at the size of that print. I mean, the dispensaries are extensively regulated.
You know, it would be helpful to me for Mrs. Hussman to characterize what kind of discussion she'd like to have, because... I think Doug's point is right, that this train has left the station from the standpoint of state law. So I think we just need to understand what we want to be considered.
I would love to be heard. What I would, I'm not saying no medical marijuana. I understand we have medical marijuana. What I'm hoping for is a home rule. The state law that you just mentioned, Doug, includes the ability to have home rule. For instance, there are towns such as I named Perrysburg and the township of Perrysburg who have decided that they don't want to allow any cultivation, processing, or a dispensary to be in their town. They have that ability. The law says we have that ability. I want us to look at that. Am I saying I don't want, that doesn't preclude in any way from anyone in our community using medical marijuana.
It means they have to go somewhere else to get it. Right. So I don't mean that
it's not a prescription, it's a written note that says you can use medical marijuana. When you go to a dispensary, you can get 90 days worth. So when we talk about travel to a dispensary a few miles away, you would do that four times a year. That's all you would have to do. That's not a big deal, I don't think, and not a reason to say, yes, we want a dispensary in our town. What I would like to see is our young people here, the leaders of our communities, say medical marijuana is fine, marijuana is not. What the kids hear when they hear marijuana is that it's a medicine, so it must be okay. The same way with the opioids, that's all the same idea. And we're saying with marijuana, we have an option not to have a dispensary in our town. And I would like us to discuss that as a way of showing our young people that marijuana isn't the way to go. If you, and I'm sure you all read the police reports like I do, it's a constant battle for our police officers to deal with marijuana, with the driving. I think I gave you all the pamphlet from the AAA about drug driving. It's a real thing. It's not something that is a made-up thing. Our police officers are aware of it. And by having a dispensary in our town, when in our small town, when a person comes to get their prescription and that they need because they're in pain or whatever, they've come and they may need it on the spot, and they will take it and then drive in our community. I don't think we want to encourage driving, and that's what it is. It's a drug, and it's drug driving. AAA, the pamphlet I gave you, I think you got it too, Doug. And then the fact that marijuana is addictive. Any of you that were at the SCAD event heard the prosecutor, Christy Cole, talk about the fact that how her brother got addicted. A group of 8 kids came, and one of them had marijuana. They all tried it, and 2 of the 8 became addicted, including her brother. Marijuana is a gateway drug. It is addicted. If you read the article in Sunday's paper, even the Blade said 1 of 10, quoted 1 of 10. Well, that's 1 too many.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sorry.
You know, if I may, I think what I would find...
Are you ready to yield the floor?
I just want to say one more thing, okay, Mark?
Sure.
We all heard of big tobacco, and we've all faced the consequences later down the road of what big tobacco did in pushing tobacco and smoking. We now have big marijuana, and they're pushing it. They're saying it's, you know, not bad for us. They're making it medicine. It's fixing everybody. I'm not sure that down the road that may be the case. I think we're encouraging more use of it, and I'm not saying that people who want it for medical purposes should not have it. That's not my intent at all. My intent is I don't want it in my town.
All right. I don't want to debate the point. I'm sorry. I don't want to debate the point. I just was hoping for some clarification. If this does go to a committee, that maybe the law director can help with. And that is that I just, not debate the point, but I remember when we met about this that we did have an option of a moratorium. And it was 1 year, it sounds like, was the number today. But we didn't act on it at the time, partially because because the law was still being developed, we didn't know how it was going to look. And if we acted on it at that time, we'd potentially be burning some of that moratorium, right?
So that's what Doug had told us, yes.
We wanted to wait until we knew what the law was going to look like before we decided to act on that. So that's what I remember. So my question to the law director would be, and that doesn't have to be tonight, maybe another meeting, is there a window that we can implement the moratorium, right? So, you know, a year from now, if we have the potential that wants to do something, are we too late to do that? Is it something that has to be done in a particular time period? what form of authority do we have? Because I don't think that we have the ability to say no, right? But we can only use the moratorium, or can we say no?
Mr. Mishka, I think that is correct. I think at the time that we were initially discussing this, there was in a draft, I think, of the legislation that was being considered, I think there was a 12-month limitation on a moratorium that could be adopted by municipal corporations. Since the Ohio Revised Code has been amended and the legislation actually enacted, there is no time limit. We can absolutely control the dispensaries, the cultivators and the processors. We have the ultimate authority to control. So I think that is a difference that was in some of the earlier versions of the bill.
Given more authority.
Right. We have the ultimate authority, as do boards of township trustees. They can also restrict. And there's no time limit.
And so we can make decisions anytime.
Correct.
Right?
Well, but you can't do it retroactively. If one comes, one comes. You know what I'm saying? We can't kick them out after they're already here.
Right. The only thing you can do in that case is apply to some kind of a zoning. And then if they, I don't know what.
Possibly.
Tie it to a particular area.
That would be
very. Become a non-conforming grandfathered use.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Mr. Lukey.
You know, Mayor, I don't have a problem revisiting this again. If we can get some more specific information about what, Sandy, you're talking about. I mean, in your comments, you sort of were mixing together marijuana use, which I understand can be abused, and medical marijuana use as sort of the same thing, the same delivery system, the same. You know, and so if we're going to spend our time talking about this, I'd like to have some people come in, some experts come in, who can help us understand the dangers that this provides to the community. Okay, and I mean law enforcement, I mean the medical community, right, from both standpoint. I mean, you characterize, just almost came up to talking about whether you weren't quite sure that this had the medical benefits that Doug said it does. I tend to believe that it does. But I'd like to have a physician talk about this. I'd like to have somebody from the state come in and tell us about how the legislation creates a protective layer of regulation around it. I mean, I don't want to have spend an hour hearing about people's opinions. And this is no reflection on you, because everybody's got an opinion, right? But I'd like to have us get some new information that would help us make a more informed decision about this point. And so if we can structure something like that, I'm for it. But if it's going to be a free-form discussion about whether this is a good thing or a bad thing, I'm not sure it's particularly helpful. So I don't know what committee you're talking about, Sandy, how you propose to set this up, who would come in and talk to us about it. But it has to be meaningful for me to get enthusiastic about it.
I think you make a great point, Mark. And I had Sandy and I spoke this afternoon, had that same conversation, indicating that this opinion back and forth, this is what I think, this is what you think, is not what needs to happen. We have to bring professionals in that can actually give us some of the facts and help us to understand it. Again, I think we need a sense of what the interest of the group is. Certainly four members of the zoning committee have had this discussion. One of those members is Sandy, and we know she's not comfortable with the decision. It seems like there is some room to revisit and bring in some experts, perhaps to go into a committee of the whole for that conversation, so all seven members of council can be more educated and be better able to participate in whatever decision is forthcoming.
I'll just say this. Unlike anybody else here, I've actually read all these rules, and including those for cultivators and processors, and the rules affecting the positions. This is a very extensive body of regulatory law. So, and what Sandy's talking about is she doesn't care about that. she doesn't care about the, whether the rules that exist are effective and reasonable. What she's saying is that any medical marijuana dispensary in our community would essentially promote recreational marijuana use among our young people. And I think there are, I think the ways to address that are, one of the reasons I support SCAT is because they're in the business of education. The way you, the way you address recreational marijuana use is with education, not by denying it to people who are sick and legitimately in need of it for medicinal purposes. And Sandy, your idea that people will only need it four times a year, okay, I think fails to recognize the fact that most people aren't going to be able to afford 90 days worth of medical marijuana supply at a time. I mean, most people who have these diseases are economically challenged. The none of these medical marijuana uses will be covered by health insurance. None of them will be, and you won't be able to use credit cards or traditional ways of financing these, because the federal government and its wisdom, despite the fact that 38 states have authorized medical marijuana use, the federal government continues to list this as a class one substance. And despite the fact that that every health organ, every recognized health organization, including federal government health organizations, have called for declassifying it so that it can be more, so that marijuana can be more regulated. This is simply, this has nothing to do with the science or the adequacy of the regulations. This is, frankly, just a gut reaction against all medical marijuana. And the fact is that the overwhelming body represented by all these state legislatures who have heard all this testimony, including our Ohio legislature, have heard all this testimony and concluded that there are medical benefits associated with medical marijuana use when properly overseen by a licensed physician with the capability and the training to identify when that can be used. This is just second-guessing all of that. Now, I think it's a horrendous waste of our time to redo, frankly, what we did, what we've already done, by the way, in committee. We've already done this. We've talked about this extensively in committee. I would be opposed to doing this again, and I think we could much better spend our time figuring out how to redevelop a block building into residential units down on the river than we would spend relitigating the benefits of medical marijuana and the need for additional regulation.
What Mr. Hanum said is true with the regulations. What the state did not consider, though, was whether we should have it in Sylvania or not. They gave us the option to decide that locally. And that's what this city council has to decide. And it's up to city council whether you've already decided it or not. Mrs. Hussman.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I would like to make a motion to refer this discussion to Committee of the Whole.
Is there a second?
Excuse me, sir. What
discussion?
What would that look like?
Clarify, this is Hussman.
I heard what you said, Mr. Lutke, about you want experts to come in. I will try to arrange that.
Are you providing the speakers?
No, No, but I will try to make arrangements to have some of these people come. I'm not running the meeting. That would be Mary's.
Committee of the Whole, President of Council, Chairman.
Okay, I want to make sure, and I appreciate your advocacy. I really do, and you're very passionate about that. But I want to make sure that we have an objective and impartial set of presenters here who can talk about the experiences that states that have had medical marijuana already have had. You know, some states are 2, 3, 5 years into this. I'd like to find a state that's going to structure it as close to Ohio as we can, although I understand most of them aren't. I'd like to hear a physician come in and talk about the leakage, if you will, of medical marijuana sales into the marketplace of marijuana use, casual use. I mean, I would like to have some real new information about this, or provide it to me in writing before we get together. That's fine too. But I don't want to have, you know, advocates for medical marijuana growers and SCAT come in and have a debate. That's not helpful to me. I want the facts. So if we can do that, I'm for it.
Mr. Lukey, you're trying to clarify the motion, and that's appropriate, but we don't have a second yet.
Well, I'm not going to second it. I don't know.
I'm not going to second it either.
I mean, unless I understand that it's going to be worthwhile. Okay, that's the point.
Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second it.
All right, now we can have that discussion. You were trying to clarify it, and I think Mrs. Hussman was trying to say that she would try to get those speakers. I'd like to ask Mrs. Cheney, are those non-biased speakers really out there? It seems like there's a lot of people on one side and a lot of people on the other.
Tony Coder is with, working with those different committees to look at all of the regulations. And Marcy Seidel is also, they are with Transparent Alliance, but they are sitting on the screen for last year so that all regulations that I've been talking about can be addressed.
Further discussion.
Another reason why this is a waste of time. First of all, as I look around the table, I don't see a single physician or person trained in medicine around the table. So we're going to make a decision about the medical efficacy of this, and whether we ought to restrict this. While we understand that in order to be eligible to receive medical marijuana in the state of Ohio, you have to be treated on an ongoing basis by a regulated physician who's been specifically trained in this. We're going to second guess that as an approach. There's a different, I don't think that's a valid or an appropriate inquiry for us. The question that the mayor posed is, should we do this in the city of Sylvania? That's a much different issue. A much different issue than, does it work? All right. And, you know, despite the fact that our Zoning and Annexation Committee has met and determined that the use of medical marijuana was sufficiently regulated by the existing state regulations. Okay, so the question is now, should we second guess that decision of the Zoning and Annexation Committee, specifically with regard to Sylvania? I think it would be, that's a different discussion than whether medical marijuana has health benefits, or rather medical marijuana, marijuana that you're going to be able to buy in a medical marijuana setting is going to be available for recreational use. You know, those are different issues. Those are all highly controlled, extensively controlled by the existing regulations, which we determined are adequate. So this is just a, do you want it here or not, issue.
Yeah,
and I would much rather, and if we want to talk about that, I guess we can talk about that.
What I want to hear come out of a discussion like that is what the clear and present danger of medical marijuana clinics pose to Sylvania and Sylvania's kids, okay? That's the bottom line question for me, because if there's a danger, we can respond to it. If there's no proof that there's a danger, then I think that we can make a different choice. But if we can't answer that question in a discussion here, I don't know that it's helpful.
How about a completely different approach? I mean, I remember that there were boundaries around like almost every possible thing in our city. What if you just take a map, look at the boundaries around all the schools, the playgrounds, all the places that you weren't allowed to have it, and see if we even have anything left to talk about?
Have we done that, Mrs. Brining or Mr. Aller?
We might have like three blocks of residential and build one anyway.
I actually have a note here to have a discussion tomorrow with our GIS technician.
I have a concern. If they're going to put it in that residential neighborhood on south side of Sylvania Avenue, east of Secor Road, that's a neighborhood. What are the rules? I don't know what they are, if it's so far from a school or something like that, but those people in the neighborhood were upset. In Sylvania Avenue, south side of Sylvania Avenue, east of Secor Road, well west of DeVos Junior High School. So
where the six-pack bar used to be?
I have no idea.
So I'm not sure what the regulations are.
500 feet.
500 feet from a school? Well, there's an awful lot of territory.
That's it, 500 feet?
It's 500 feet.
So it's limited. It'd have to be a commercial zoning, I would think. You can't sell something in a residential area, so it's going to be commercial zoning. Mm-hmm. Sounds a lot like our legal, our alcohol research that the chief will come in and say it's too close to a school or too close to a church or something like that.
Yeah, the Toledo one is in my old neighborhood, West Toledo.
I lived on Rushland. It's not far from there.
No.
So one other thing that would help clarify this question for me, and this is a legal opinion from the law director, I would anticipate, as Mr. Hanum has been passionate in describing how the regulations exist today, mm-hmm. if we permit a dispensary in the city of Sylvania and the legislature decides to change the law so that if I parted my hair on the left-hand side of my head, I could have access to marijuana, would it then be permissible by us to ban that dispensary after the fact?
If they change the rules?
Mm-hmm.
Only if there's a specific provision that would permit us to grant. Once they're in, you can't apply a zoning, and it would be probably de facto zoning, a ban or a moratorium on a dispensary. You can't apply that retroactively unless this law specifically permitted us to do
so
that.
So once again,
that's just my
they would be grandfathered dispensary, and if the law changed.
If the rules changed, and those rules were promulgated by the Ohio, like Doug said, the Ohio Board of Pharmacy, Department of Commerce, I forget.
Which was driven by the legislative passage and the signature of the governor.
Right.
So if that law changed to open that spigot
changed.
Up, that dispensary would still be permitted
correct.
And able to do whatever the law permitted in the state of Ohio.
Mark, let me point out one other thing. If the legislature chose to remove the right of mm-hmm. individual communities to regulate these, they have extensively regulated this that we wouldn't have a home rule issue. So if the legislature is going to change the dispensary rules, they could also change the rules that allow local communities to have a vote. Mm-hmm. They could do that too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, could you change legislation?
Yeah.
The answer is, you can always change your decision. We could adopt a constitutional amendment in the state of Ohio that...
To have casinos.
That authorized recreational use of marijuana. That could happen too. The point is, the laws that were developed here were developed very specifically to create a medical marijuana regulatory scheme that is, frankly, unlike any that I'm aware of in other states. Certainly dramatically different than right across the line in Michigan. Drive up to Ann Arbor and you'd be amazed.
You don't have to go that far. There are condominiums on the golf course north of town where you can go and learn how to use medical marijuana.
Right.
And it's been there for a while.
And one of the reasons that that is there is because there are people with ALS, PTSD, AIDS, Alzheimer's, and all those other horrible diseases that I read earlier that have found medical marijuana to provide them relief for their maladies. And that's why people from Ohio travel out of state today. And very shortly, they won't have to do that.
There's a lot of differing opinions over the use of marijuana or medical marijuana. The United States government says it's an illegal drug to use. States have adopted rules in defiance of the national law saying it's all right in our state. I don't know how you resolve that issue. But just in our area, Sandy has told us that Perrysburg and Perrysburg Township have passed a moratorium on it. But
a complete ban.
But in the front page of the paper, the Toledo Blade yesterday, you saw the city of Rossford is opening its arms saying, please bring it to our community. And Michael Beasley was in that article too, I assume representing Oregon, saying the same thing. So there's a lot of different ways to look at this. And Mrs. Hussman has a motion on the floor that's been seconded to see whether this council wants to discuss having it in Sylvania or not. And that's why you make so much money being city council members. You are the city fathers and mothers.
To discuss it again.
I don't think you can ever have too much information.
I think finding those speakers is going to be a challenge. But we'll work with whoever. Maybe Doug wants to bring somebody. Maybe you want to bring somebody, or you want to find somebody. I don't know.
Presumably, Perrysburg and Perrysburg Township have gone through a process where they got some information, right? Why don't we just start with
you
them
would
and
hope
find
so.
Out what they got?
I think that's.
Doug has a connection there.
I know a little bit about what Perrysburg did. There was not much consideration there. But anyway.
Hopefully they did get the information. I don't know that.
Well, at least it's a place to start.
All right. I am sitting in the chair. There is a motion and a second on the floor. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Clerk needs to call the roll.
Mrs. Capellini?
Yes.
Mr. Fry?
Yes.
Mr. Hanum?
No.
Mrs. Hussman?
Yes.
Mr. Lutke?
Yes.
Mr. Mishka?
Yes.
And Mrs. Westfall?
Yes.
I think I counted six yays. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. All right. So the motion carries to refer this to the committee of the whole for discussion. Mrs. Westfall, I don't know if you want to establish that meeting date tonight. You might want to wait until we do some research on speakers and how we're going to set it up.
Okay.
All right. I will have request Mrs. Hussman to work with, I would say, the law director, maybe with help from Mrs. Cheney, and with Mr. Hanum to try and come up with this research, and we can put it on the agenda for the next meeting if you want to schedule the meeting. That's all, just to schedule the meeting.
This law is now the law, right?
Yes.
And it's being implemented?
I'm sorry?
Yes.
This is now being implemented, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is not speculative.
Right.
No.
It's happening.
Correct.
So whatever regulations exist are now complete?
Correct.
Right? Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. are the six yeas in agreement that we'll just put it on the agenda for the next meeting to discuss setting a meeting date. Not to discuss the issue, to set a meeting date.
Would it be appropriate to expect at that meeting some sort of a little rundown of what the meeting might involve?
I don't think I'm going to try to structure that. I think that's...
I think that we can definitely make an effort to see that. I don't think any of us know what direction we're going, but I think we can give you an update on where we are with planning that meeting. That's what I think would be appropriate.
All right.
I'm going to be looking for some local residents with ALS.
They're not unbiased. The rule, the decision was to try to find somebody unbiased.
Well, I haven't heard anybody here. You know, this guy, this coder guy, is not unbiased.
All right.
He has a dog in the fight.
All right. We are to the end of our agenda items, the informational items. I'd actually like to add a C, Woodstock Sister City Trip and Santa Claus Parade. Mr. Lukey and I traveled north with our spouses for that. Mr. Lukey took a tour of Woodstock, watched the parade. I was in the parade. Any comments you'd like to make?
No, it's a very exciting community in Woodstock. We had a great contact to take us around on a tour. So it was a first-time visitor, interesting to see. They did a lovely job with their dinner for us. They had their 25th anniversary dinner, and it was first class in every way and well attended by their members of council. I did have a chance to have a conversation with their
chair, Ron Fraser.
Ron Fraser. And, you know, they have some political issues up there that made this a less than, not quite as the kind of event that they've had in the past. The parade, because of weather and other reasons, was a little smaller. The crowd was a little smaller. But he has made a commitment that in the coming year he will work with their city councilors to come up with a reconstituted sister city committee and a commitment for funding so that, you know, they like we, will be able to come up with sort of a revitalized sister city effort. So that was a good conversation to have. And he very clearly understands that there are some challenges to bring this back to the glory days of the past. But they're making a commitment to do that.
All right. I also enjoyed going up there. I, like many of the people in the room, have been there most of the 25 years. And they, like we, need to make an effort to involve the next generations of people to see if they want to do it or not.
Right. I think this is my language, not his. But I think that it has to become more than a club. Right. I mean, the people that we were with, that I was with on the tour, have been there gone every year for 25 years, and they have friends in the community. But they're aging out, quite honestly. And, you know, they have to pass the torch to a younger group of people who maybe want it to be a little different than what they enjoyed. Right. So, and that's the challenge on the Woodstock side, too. So I think the question here and there remains, can we create a organization that is appealing to younger folks and that can maybe take it beyond simply a one year at a time visit, turn it into some exchanges like we talked about, cultural business exchanges and so on. So there's a place that this can all head, but it's going to take some effort.
We've had a successful 25-year banquet here and another one up there, and both communities had parades. So we'll see how it develops in the next few months and next year, where we go from here.
He asked to be given, you know, 3-4 months to be able to. They're going to have to actually pass legislation in their city council to reappoint the sister city commission because they had a couple of members fall away. And so I think he just understands that the political process will take a while to get that done.
He is the former police chief of Woodstock, but there were four members of their city council there, four current members. Mm-hmm. At least two or three, perhaps three, had, that have been here. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you for sharing that.
But I'm glad the mayor was there. I think they were a little anxious that you weren't going to be there, but you were there. And that's good. And you know, the mayor's kind of a celebrity up there, so I think they wanted to see him.
I'm referred to as your worship up there.
Don't get used to that.
I think I've heard that here,
I have
too, Your Honor.
Yeah, don't get used to that.
It's fun to go up there. Worship is at the bottom of their rank, by the way. It's worship, then honorable, then right honorable. That's their hierarchy going up. All right. I think we're at the end of our agenda. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second. Moved and seconded. All in favor to adjourn indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries and council stands adjourned until its next meeting in 2 weeks on Monday, December the 4th at 7:30 p.m. Thank you for all coming.